Good morning.
Good
morning. Good morning to all those online this morning. Luke chapter 16, starting in 19th verse. Luke 16, starting in 19th verse. And Doug is going to read slow this morning because I always tend to start reading fast and I mess it all up. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou, in thy lifetime, receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. We're all familiar with this story, and I have a reason for reading this story, and I'll get to it here in a few minutes. But it's a theme of this story, an incident that happens in this story. But we realize this is the story of the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man had everything. Rich man had not a care in the world. And here's Lazarus laying on the side of the, at the foot of the his table, and the dogs are licking his sores. All he wants is a little morsel of bread, and the rich man could not even do that. I've thought about this a few times as I drive down the road. I've brought this up before. I always get off at the bypass there in Altoona. And if I'm going to Menards or Lowe's or Walmart, every time I'm at that intersection getting off the bypass, there's a gentleman there panhandling. And I get stopped three or four or five cars behind him, behind all the other cars. I see people sometimes will hand him out money. Lisa and I one time gave him Bebop's, so we got extra Bebop's hamburgers. And I've said to myself several times, if I get up there and the light turns red and I'm sitting there next to him, I'm going to give him some of this money I got, because I always have money on my visor. My wife doesn't know that, but I always have money on my visor for drinks and things during the day. I'm going to give him some of that money. But then I think to myself, why would I have to have that? Why can't I just call him up here now and say, hey, here's some money? It's not that far for him to walk. But then I look over and I see just past where I can see there's a car sitting there. And that same car is there every day when that man's standing there. So I know the man has a car. I know he can drive to that location. So then I start to get a little bitter about it. And it makes me think, how well off is he really? He may be suffering if he has to go and panhandle like that. And that makes me feel bad. But yet I don't every time go by him. But that made me think about the rich man and Lazarus. Because I had the ability to eat. I've got a cup sitting down here that I'll bring in everyone. One time I was at Walmart on the south side, and the police were having a money drive or something. And I had this big old bucket of quarters, and nickels, pennies, dimes, a dirty old thing. And I walked up to him. I says, here, I have this, but it's heavy and it's full of money. He said, pour it in there. And I poured it in there, and the guy starts going like this because it's getting heavier the whole time. So I have been known to do that, but I don't go out of my way to do that kind of thing. And this rich man, all he would have had to do was drop a morsel of bread on the ground, and that would have put a smile on Lazarus' face, and he wouldn't do it. And what happened later is what I want to look at in the story, because something profound happened that opened both their eyes. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. We're going to be in Matthew the remainder of the service, so you won't have to keep turning back and forth to places. But Matthew chapter 25, starting in the first verse. These are all stories we're well familiar with, but I'm hoping to tie them in here just past this point. Matthew chapter 25, starting the first verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but you rather go and sell it, go to them to sell and buy for yourselves. And while they were yet, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready and went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. 5 wise and 5 foolish. 5 were prepared for anything. 5 were not. I myself hope to be prepared for everything, but I can guarantee I'm not going to be fully prepared when the time comes. I'm going to be scrambling, looking for things to do, ways to get around. These people knew they had to be prepared. 5 of them brought extra provisions. 5 of them did not. And as a result, they had to go looking for somebody who would sell it to them. And they found it finally, but by the time they got back, the doors were shut and they were not allowed in. This gets me to the point of my lesson. When one of our kids was a small little tyke, I don't know if it was Nathan or Trent, one of them, we had a party out back here in the building. So it was after we put the addition on. And one of them, he was sick. And we had a party going, a birthday party for somebody. I don't know who it was. But I'm sitting in the building back there watching the party go on. I look out the back doors, the glass doors, and I see this one child of ours looking in the glass. I don't know if he had the measles or what he had, but he could not come in because we didn't want him to infect the people that were in there. Lisa, I hope you remember because I know what happened. Because I felt bad for him. I went back and sat by the back door just so he wouldn't feel like he was alone. It may have been Nathan. That may be why he's all messed up. I don't know. We may have messed him up that day. No, he did not. Nathan, you're not messed up. Sorry. Forget he's online. But one of them did that. And he was looking in, trying to be part of the festivities, but he couldn't be. And I felt bad for him. That made me think about, come to my house this afternoon. If all my grandkids are there, and I did it when I was growing up, I sheepishly tell the story of my brother Bernard and my cousins. We were riding bikes one day, and we would go so far ahead of him, and we'd stop. And Bernard would be way back there, and we'd be resting. He'd come pedaling up. Time he'd get there, we'd all be rested. We'd take off again. Well, he'd be wanting to rest. Did I feel bad about it at the time? No, I thought it was funny. Now I feel bad about it. But if you come to my house, I can guarantee my grandkids are going to start playing keep away or avoid somebody. And you're going to be sitting in the kitchen or in the front room, you're going to hear door slam, 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 slam. And somebody's going to be standing outside the door going, they won't let me in. They're so mean. Because they don't want to let him in. They want to exclude a certain person. Now give them 5 minutes or let the parents find out about it. The next thing you know, 5 minutes later, he'll be in the room, or one of them will be in the room. The other one will be standing outside crying because they did it. It's just the way kids are. So the point of my lesson, and what it would be called in modern day phraseology, if we're talking about my son that was sitting outside the glass doors here, it would be said he was on the outside looking in. He was on the outside looking in. And that's what my lesson is going to be a little bit about. It's not going to be very long, but it's going to be about this morning, on the outside looking in. Because were we not all at one time on the outside looking in? Yes, we were. And there are times in my life when I'm still on the outside looking in, because I don't have all the answers. I don't have all the abilities. I still am going to slip up. I'm going to be out on the outside looking in. He was on the outside looking in. He was missing out. I spent a week in Florida with the grandkids and some of the family. When I would see a ride that said, if you have a heart condition, motion sickness, or you're not over 38 inches tall, you can't ride. Boy, I tried to make myself not 38 inches of you. No, I didn't really. But I felt bad because I had a grandson that was just under. You know, if I'd have had anything to do with it, I'd have stuck a second pair of socks in his shoes, and he'd have been 38 inches tall. But he got upset a few times because he was on the outside looking in. His family's going up to ride the rides. He stuck out here with Grandma Lenita and Grandpa Doug because we can't ride those rides. I didn't feel left out. I wasn't worried about it. Now, when I saw the people coming back out and their hair wasn't all looking like Gene Wilder in Young Frankenstein or something. If you don't know that movie, it's Gene Wilder in Young Frankenstein. But they were normal. But I was convinced if I got on that ride, I wasn't going to be normal when I came back out. But I didn't want to go on that ride, so I did not feel like I was on the outside looking in. But my little grandson did. He felt like he was on the outside looking in because he could not ride those rides. And he made us pay for it later when he could ride a ride. He wanted to ride it again. And he wanted to ride it again, which was nice because you could almost ride it back to back there that time. But modern day phraseology, he was on the outside looking in. The two scriptures that I opened up with, is that not the fact that we had? People were on the outside looking in. The five virgins came fully prepared, they thought. But yet when it came right down to it, five of them were on the outside looking in. The doors had been shut. They were not allowed in. Same way with Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was carried to Abraham's bosom. It says the other guy was buried. But yet he was at a point where he could look and see. Lazarus was in comfort at that point in time, and he was in torment. But he forgot that back then, in the early stages of the story, he was in comfort and Lazarus was in torment. But there was a way they could see each other. So he, in essence, was on the outside looking in. He was on the wrong side of eternity looking at somebody that was in going to be in eternity. And it got to the point where he realized at that point in time that he had made a mistake. But yet God told him, you had your chance. And he says, well, send him to my brothers and my sisters, my brothers. Because if somebody comes back from the dead, they'll surely, no, God knows better than that. You know, do any of us believe that the zombie apocalypse is really going to happen? No. But I guarantee if the zombie apocalypse happened, I told the boss, I told you this a while back, I told my boss, I didn't take off COVID-19, I didn't take off the derecho that hit, but I'm taking off the next catastrophe. So if it's the zombie apocalypse, I'm not coming to work. If it's a blizzard, I ain't coming, I'll go to work. But what was the most popular show for a long time, the last couple of years? Walking Dead. Zombies are coming back to life, or zombies alive. But yet God says it doesn't matter. If somebody comes back from the dead, they ain't going to believe him. They're not going to believe him. So they'll be on the outside looking in. Kids play games excluding others. Adults get left out sometimes. How many times you as an adult found out there's something going on, but you weren't invited to it? You're on the outside looking in. I hope to never be told by God that you're on the outside looking in. I always want to be on the inside looking out at what I left behind, not on the inside looking out, outside looking in at what I'm missing. I'm not doing a whole lot of scriptures this morning, but yet I'm getting some points out of some of those scriptures. I don't know how other people get lessons, but a lot of my lessons come from what I hear on the radio or what I read on in the news and that kind of stuff. Not so much news anymore. Because I'm Mike Allen, I don't even turn the news on much anymore. I've got satellite TV, and I don't even turn to Channel 8 most. If I do, it's just enough to see what's going to weather's going to be like tomorrow. It's not worth it. But the thieves on the cross, were they on the outside looking in? Well, they didn't think they were probably when they were hung on the cross, did they? Hey, we're paying the penalty for our sins. Then all of a sudden, Christ doesn't roll up. Christ drags his cross up there. They nail him to it, and they stick him right between them or beside them. Then they realize who that is that's hanging there beside them. He hasn't done anything wrong. Why is he hanging here? We know what we've done. That's why we're hanging here. They're on the outside looking in. What happened? One said, forget it, Fooey. He's no better off than we are. The other one said, I want to be on the inside looking out. Take with me today with you to paradise. Or remember me in paradise when you go to paradise. And Christ told him, today you will be with me in paradise. That quickly it changed. He was on the outside looking in. Now he's with Christ on the outside. I'm going to get this backwards yet. On the inside looking out. And that's what we want to be. We want to be on the inside looking out. But we want to be careful with that, because we don't want to be on the inside looking out at what we left. But it's scary, because I'm on the inside and I'm looking out at what I left. And how easy it would be to go back to that. Because, man, I was in comfort back then. I was enjoying life back then. Was I really? I was, because I didn't know there was a better thing. Now I know there's a better thing. So I want to not go looking back at what I left. I want to look at maybe thankful for what I left, but I want to realize that I'm on the inside now. So I should be happy as all get up that I can be on the inside. Matthew chapter 22, it tells us, many are called, but few are chosen. I think we can agree with that, can't we? Many are called. Has anybody in this world not been called to Christ? Not been called to repentance? I don't think we can say nobody's been called to repentance. They just haven't accepted that call. Many are called, but few are chosen. If that wasn't true, we'd have a building the size of the Crystal Cathedral, or the one Joel Osteen has down in Texas. Now, I'm not saying those are the right places to be, but yet if all were coming, we wouldn't be able to keep the doors on this place. And that's why we need to be realizing that we need to be out in the world looking at who we can bring in, who we can convince to realize they are on the outside looking in. Because they're coming to us. Those five virgins knew what they needed, so they went looking for who had it. Well, I think we got a world full of people looking for help, looking for what we need. And I'm not the kind of person, I'm more of the got to be smacking the back of the head like Philip and the eunuch. Philip, he smacking the back of the head and say, go over there. And then he took off running. I'm not the kind that goes looking for those opportunities. More than likely, it's because I feel like I'm in intelligence on the outside looking in. I don't have the ability to do what some people can do to bring people. But through my life and through my actions, I'm hoping I can do that. How do you think it would have felt, or if you'd have been the ninth or tenth or 11th person when they were loading up the ark? Well, people are looking out, and there goes Noah. There goes Noah's wife. There goes Noah's three boys. There goes Noah's three wives. I'm next. I hope I'm next. Nope. Door starts closing, and you're not going to force that door back open. So at that point in time, the entire world, minus eight people, was on the outside looking in. I have no idea how many people that was at the time, there were at the time, but they were on the outside looking in. It was gone. There was no hope for them. And I feel that at times we have a world that's that way sometimes. They see us coming into the building. They think, well, the door's shut. I'm not worthy to be in that building. That's wrong. We need to make them aware. Noah couldn't open that door and say, come on in. It ain't like it was on TV with that dude was on a movie a few years ago where the whole town comes and gets on the ark because there's about to be a flood. It isn't like that. God decided those eight people were the only eight going to be saved, and the animals. So we need to realize that not only were we on the outside looking in at one time, there's a world of people on the outside looking in too. And I don't have to go any farther than my family in Indiana or my family in Texas or New Mexico. But I got a lot of family out there that aren't members of the Church of Christ. They're churchgoers, but yet I don't think they're in the right kind of church and the right kind of situation. So I need to work with them. Matthew chapter 7, starting at 24th verse. Matthew chapter 7, starting 24th verse. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Depending on the type of foundation I build my house on, determines whether I will be on the outside looking in or on the inside looking out. I did not realize the strength of that wind we had a while back, because it didn't really bother. I mean, it took out a couple of trees around me. Alan understands the severity of it, because after 2 weeks, whatever he had to do. But I was driving through Marshalltown last week, going up to Conrad, and I could not believe right here is a house that, or a building that on the south side of the road, it hadn't been touched. North side of the road, the roof's completely ripped off of it, right in Marshalltown. There's trees falling down in this guy's yard, but none in this guy's yard. It just doesn't matter. But yet, I'm pretty sure this building and this building were built on the same foundation, but yet the wind had an effect on it. But if we build our house on a foundation that isn't strong enough, this house would have been on the ground if they'd just put it on the ground and left it standing there with no cement, no nails, no nothing. This evidently had a good enough foundation, but the roof was ripped off of it. That being said, there are times when my roof gets ripped off. I'm on a good, strong foundation. I'm built on rock. But yet that rock is what's holding my house up. I have to make sure my roof doesn't get blown off once in a while by hurricanes, winds, troubles around me, because that could cause me to stumble and to fall. But if I remember I have my house built on the strong foundation of God, then I should not have to worry about my house caving in or my house falling down. Problem is, I forget that I'm built on that foundation sometimes, and that's when I start having problems. And how can I do that? By trying to be a good example. I was at work the Friday night getting ready to leave, and there's a jokester there, that one of our salesmen, and he looked at me and said, "Well, what are you doing Sunday? You going to go spend all day at church?" I said, "No, I'm going to spend a couple, 2 or 3 hours, and then I'll have the rest of the day to myself." He said, "Well, you're a preacher, aren't you?" I said, "No, I'm not a preacher." "Well," said this lady over in Billings, "said that you were a preacher." I said, "No, I'm a deacon, but I do give sermons, I do give lessons, and I'm going to speak this Sunday." I said, "But I'm not a preacher." But I had never said anything to that gal that I was a church-going person. I said something and she heard it, but people notice when you're around, and that's why I have to make sure when I'm in the office, and it's hard to do. Lisa will attest to this. If I'm around you guys, it's easy to be strong. It's easy to watch my tongue. When I'm by myself, it's not so easy. Lisa will attest to this, and I'm going to throw myself under the bus here. When I was in Florida driving, I hate driving in places where I'm not familiar with. For one thing, I pulled up next to this car, thinking, "Okay, I'm going to take a right left-hand turn." It's dark. I'm waiting on the arrow to turn. All of a sudden, the car pulls up behind me, starts honking its horn. Lisa goes, "What are you doing? You're not in the turn lane here." Well, I let a word slip out that I shouldn't let slip out. I'm human, okay? I'm human. It happened twice that week. Not because of her, not because of anything, but it's just the stress I was underneath. I forgot where my foundation was supposed to be laid. Okay? And it happens. What happens is if I don't admit that I have those faults, I don't admit that I got kinks in my armor. I need to make sure that I know my armor can be dented a little bit once in a while. But the thing is, as long as I realize I'm on the inside with Christ, I have a chance to be forgiven of those little indiscretions that I make. I won't ever be caught on the outside looking in. Now, that warning being said, there is a warning in Luke chapter 19 that should scare the snot out of me. Luke chapter 19, starting in the first verse. Oh, this isn't the one I want. I'm sorry. No, this is something else. This is how far I should be willing to go to be on the inside looking out. This was something else I was thinking of when I come up. This is a good one for me, I think. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a certain named Zacchaeus, which was a chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was of little stature. That's me. I'm small. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. But when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, this he's gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, the Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken any from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, forasmuch as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was a small man. Zacchaeus was not a tall man. Obviously, he was a small. He heard Christ was coming. How many times have you gone to do something, go to a parade or something, go to some event, and Derek's standing in front of you, Greg standing in front of you? I think I can see almost. Greg, can you pull your arms out like this so I can look between your arms? Zacchaeus knew he had to do something in order to see Christ. He wanted to see him. So what did he do? He was willing to climb a tree to get above the crowd. He wasn't making a big scene. He wasn't saying, I'm going to climb above the crowd because Christ's going to come by here and say, hey, I see you up there, come on down. But what happened? Christ walked by and said, I see you up there, come on down, because today I'm going to abide with you. So he realized that he was on the outside looking in, but yet he was going to find a way to be put on the inside if he could. And so Christ looked at him and said, today, salvation is coming to this house, because he made the effort. That's the big thing. When our kids are fighting and they slam the door and leave one of them out, what's the kid going to do? He's going to come, the one that's left out, he's going to stand there crying, bawling, or he's going to come find his parents, and he's going to rat out the other things that locked him out. And things are going to change. Well, that's what we need to be willing to do. We need to be willing to go to Christ, to come to God, and say, hey, I realize I'm on the outside looking in. And we've all done that. I'm guessing everybody here this morning has done that. But there are a lot of people out there that haven't. The scary scripture I was talking about, I didn't look it up, is the one that scares me the most, and especially after my events of in Florida when I slipped a couple times, how easy it is because you just don't think about it. There's a scripture in Peter that talks about a person that is professing to be with Christ, professing to be a believer, but yet their life doesn't reflect that. And it likens them to a dog that turns back and starts eating its own vomit, or a pig that gets cleaned up and starts wallowing back in the mire. That's where I need to be careful of, that I don't become that pig that says, oh, look at what I left behind. It was so much fun. I could still be on the inside, but I want to go enjoy that. No, you can't. You have to put away the old things. That's why we come to Christ. That's why we come to repentance. That's why we come here on Sunday morning to partake of the emblems that we partake of. All of us here this morning, more than likely, well, I can't say that. A lot of us have changed our location. We are now on the inside looking out. But don't look out. Keep looking in. If I'm on the inside, when I got to Disney's Cinderella's Castle, I didn't turn around and look out at the entrance that I just walked through. I was going to look, and it was all closed up pretty much, but I was going to look at what was in that castle. I kept looking forward because I knew there were better things. But yet, I think I need to do the same thing once I'm in Christ's fold. I need to keep looking forward. I need to keep looking what's ahead of me, because there's better things coming. You know, the rich man didn't have better things coming. Lazarus did. Doug didn't have better things coming until he became one of Christ's followers, was baptized as a believer. But yet, sometimes Doug forgets to keep looking forward, and he starts looking backwards a little bit. I need to not do that. If you have not accepted Christ into your life at this point in time in your lives, and you know there's a need in your life, and you know you're on the outside looking in, all you have to do is change. All you have to do is come forward, confess your wrongs, accept Christ, and be baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection. I wonder if you're like me and you've messed up once in a while and you need to come forward and make amends for wrongs you've done. I'll admit, I make wrongs. Luckily, I can go to Christ in prayer and ask for those forgiveness. If you've done something that's brought shame to the church or that you think you need to confess of, you're always given the opportunity to put yourself right with God as we stand and sing the closing song.